From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. Protesters crowded into Senator Susan Collins' office in Portland today to speak out against the treatment of migrants in detention camps along the southern U.S. border. Mainers for Accountable Leadership organized the Playdate protest. Parents brought their children and toys into Collins' office to recreate the conditions of children being kept in small spaces at the detention centers. Ashley McCurry of Portland brought her 2-year-old daughter, Kennedy.
She could have been a kid. I would have fought just as hard to give her a better life as those parents did. In fact, they're braver than me.
Around 30 people were at the Portland office. Similar protests were planned at her offices in Bangor, Augusta, and Caribou. Governor Janet Mills has held nearly 40 bills for further consideration, which means they likely won't be taken up again until next year. Mal Leary has more.
Governor Mills signed 606 bills in the session that concluded in June and issued 8 vetoes that were all sustained, but she's holding 39 measures for further consideration. Mills says some of the bills conflict with existing law, while others call for spending money on a wide range of proposals, from sales tax exemptions for some nonprofit agencies to improving access to dental services for children from low-income families. When the legislature returns for at least 3 days, which is not expected until next January, Mills will have to sign or veto the bills or have the legislature recall them from her desk to make changes in response to her objections. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The largest union at Bath Iron Works is opposing Central Maine Power's transmission line project through western Maine. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers Local S6 Shop Steward says the project won't create jobs and could actually eliminate some in the steel, renewable energy, and biomass industries. And unemployment rates fell during the spring for Maine's 3 major urban areas. Figures out today from the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics show Bangor's jobless rate fell to 3.1% in May, down from 3.8% in March. Lewiston-Auburn unemployment fell to 3.1% in May from 3.7% in March. And Portland-South Portland, the jobless rate fell to 2.6% in May from 3% in March. Democrats at the national level and here in Maine are using a multi-pronged strategy to unseat Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins in 2020. That includes something that political organizations have been doing more recently, creating a nonprofit group that can shield its donors and operate in a legal gray area. Maine Public Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler is reporting on this and has a story now at mainepublic.org. And we have brought him in to talk about how the Maine group will be used against Collins and whether it's part of a larger national network that funnels cash and organizational support to state-level groups. Steve, let's start now with this new group in Maine. It's called the 16 Counties Coalition. What are they trying to accomplish?
The 16 Counties Coalition is billing itself as an education campaign designed to hold Collins accountable for voting for the 2017 GOP tax cut bill, which also repealed a mandate in the Affordable Care Act that most Americans have to buy health insurance. Now, that vote really marked the beginning of what's become almost unabated attacks on Collins from Democrats and liberal advocacy groups. And now this group is basically making sure that voters don't forget about it if Collins does indeed run for re-election next year.
Well, that sounds pretty typical, a political group highlighting a vote they don't like during an election year. So why do we care about this group in particular?
Yeah, you're right. It's pretty common to highlight a vote that you don't like. But what makes this group different is that it's billing itself as a social welfare organization, and it's registered as a 501c4 nonprofit with the IRS. Now, why is that significant? Well, because the designation grants that group tax-exempt status, and perhaps more importantly, it allows it to shield the identity of its donors. And it could also spend unlimited amount of money during the course of a campaign. Now, that's why these nonprofit groups have become increasingly utilized by political activists over the past decade. And the other point to make here is that these groups aren't allowed to publicly endorse or oppose a candidate during an election. But the line between education and advocacy is really pretty blurry, legally and practically speaking.
And what about 16 counties suggest that they are really out to defeat Susan Collins?
Well, two of the people running it aren't exactly neutral observers in Maine politics. I mean, the director is Willie Rich, and you may remember him as the former longtime spokesman for Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. And the spokesman for the group is Chris Glynn. Glynn was the former communications director for the Maine Democratic Party, and more recently was the temporary spokesman for Maine House Speaker Sarah Gideon.
And that is the very same Sarah Gideon who just announced she's challenging Collins next year?
That's right. So at the end of the day, you have a purported social welfare group run by two Democratic operatives, one of whom recently worked for one of Senator Collins' opponents, that just happens to be launching a campaign to educate Mainers about Senator Collins' record. And they're promising a well-funded, vigorous campaign, too.
Okay, so what about that funding? What do we know about that?
Nothing definitive, except it's secret, and they're allowed legally to keep it that way. That said, the group's participation in an event this week here in Portland does raise some questions about whether it's an affiliate of another nonprofit group based out of Washington, D.C., called the 1630 Fund. Now, 1630 was a relatively obscure nonprofit up until about 3 years ago. Now it's considered an umbrella group for a liberal secret money network that has provided funding to state-level grassroots organizations operating across the country, including in Maine. I mean, it provided direct funding to the Maine People's Alliance, which is a prominent progressive activist group here in Maine, and $800,000 to the campaign that supported Question 2. That was the 2017 ballot initiative that expanded Medicaid in Maine. Now, that same D.C. group, which is led by National Democratic Party operatives, also sent millions of dollars to state-level groups during the 2018 midterm elections, who in turn highlighted votes by vulnerable Republicans on the Obamacare repeal bill and other issues that ultimately helped Democrats retake the House, the U.S. House of Representatives. And they did that through these so-called non-candidate issue ads.
And that does sound a lot like what 16 counties wants to do. So are they affiliated with this organization?
That's really not clear at this point. I mean, it could become clearer later when the group files another tax filing, which probably won't be until next year. But as you noted, there's certainly a lot of similarities. I mean, earlier this week, 16 counties held a joint event with this group called Tax March, which is holding events around the country to highlight the unpopularity of the GOP tax cuts. What's interesting about Tax March is that the IRS filings from 2017 show it's actually a trade name for this very same 1630 organization that we're talking about.
So with responses to this reporting that you've been doing, what are the 16 counties people saying about this? And what is Senator Collins saying about this, if anything?
Well, the 16 counties folks, they're not really answering this question about whether or not they're affiliated with this national group, the 1630 group. And Senator Collins, a campaign spokesman for her, basically says it's pretty hypocritical for liberal groups who have long decried the use of so-called dark money in politics to now start hiding behind it. Now, of course, given the national attention this race has already received, it's probably a safe bet that conservative dark money groups could respond on Collins' behalf just further down the road.
Steve, thanks for breaking it down for us.
Happy to do it.
And if you want to read more about this, you can visit mainepublic.org. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock, where we'll have a conversation about Frederick Douglass. I'm Nora Flaherty. We're off Thursday and Friday for the holiday. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.